This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
And it's my joy to welcome you into this time, whether you're joining us over live stream or here in the sanctuary. We know that the Spirit of Christ unites us and helps us lift up our praises and thanksgivings to God as we worship. I'd like to invite you to take a moment to register your attendance. If you're here in the sanctuary, there are registration pads at the end of each row. And if you're worshiping online, there's a link you can place in your browser to register. If you're visiting with us, we hope that you feel welcomed and that you feel the Spirit of Christ in this place. And if you are interested in learning more about how our congregation is trying to live out the love of God, then please share a mailing address or email address or phone number, and one of our pastors will be in touch with you in the days ahead. Just a couple of announcements as we gather this morning. Please keep our youth in your prayers. A group of them left yesterday to serve in Macon and Daytona, and they will be gone through Friday alongside Emily and Stacy and some other adults. So please keep them in your prayers that they might experience and be renewed by the love of Christ on their journey. Next Sunday, we'll have another large gathering for those who are interested in studying the Bible in a deeper way. Some of you are continuing to read the Bible as we started in January, reading all the way through. Lots of us are a little behind. Even if you're not being part of that journey, you're welcome to come as we dive in a little more deeply to the prophets. That will be at 5 p.m., 5 to 7 on Sunday. It will be a potluck, and if you can look in your insert in the bulletin to find out how to sign up and find out more information. We find ourselves this morning hearing the word of the Lord through the prophets Amos and Micah. Let us open our hearts, our minds, our lives to hear the word of the Lord through these ancient prophets.
For the Lord is steadfast.
And God's love is everlasting.
Praise the Lord. Trusting that God's love is unconditional and God's mercy is everlasting, let us make our confession with the confidence of the children of God. Loving God, your grace knows no end, and your love knows no bounds. Yet too often we turn away from your love. We seek comfort instead of justice, malevolence instead of mercy, and selfishness instead of humility. Forgive us for the moments we disregard your tender plea to walk humbly with you. And now, O God, we offer to you our individual confessions in silence. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners, and that proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
Glory to God. Amen. As a forgiven and reconciled people, let us exchange signs of reconciliation and love. The peace of Christ be with you. One of the great joys of the church is the baptism of children. This morning, Eric and Taylor Meadows bring their daughter before God and before the community of faith for baptism.
My family in Christ, through the sacrament of baptism, we are initiated into Christ's holy church. We're incorporated into God's mighty acts of salvation and given new birth through water and the Spirit. And all of this is God's gift offered to us without price. Eric and Taylor, as you bring your daughter forward for baptism, I ask you these ancient questions of the faith. On behalf of the whole church, I ask you, do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sin? If so, say we do.
We do.
Do you accept the freedom and power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves? If so, say we do. Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, put your whole trust in his grace, and promise to serve him as your Lord in union with the church which Christ has opened to all people? If so, say we do.
We do.
And will you nurture this child in Christ's holy church, that by your teaching and example, she may be guided to accept God's grace for herself, to profess her faith openly, and to lead a Christian life? If so, say we will. My friends in the congregation, do you, as Christ's body, the church, reaffirm both your rejection of sin and your commitment to Christ? If so, please say we do.
We do.
And will you nurture one another in the Christian faith and life and include this child now before you in your care? With God's help, we will proclaim the good news and live according to the example of Christ. We will surround this child with a community of love and forgiveness, that she may grow in service with others. We will pray for her to be a true disciple who walks in the way that leads to life.
Let us pray. Eternal God, when nothing existed but chaos, you swept across the dark waters and brought forth light. In the days of Noah, you saved those in the ark through water. After the flood, you set in the clouds a rainbow. When you saw your people as slaves in Egypt, you led them to freedom through the sea. Their children you brought through the Jordan to the land which you promised. In the fullness of time, you sent Jesus, nurtured in the water of a womb. He was baptized by John and anointed by your Spirit. He called his disciples to share in the baptism of his death and resurrection and to make disciples of all nations.
Pour out your Holy Spirit to bless this gift of water and this child who receives it, to wash away sin and clothe her in righteousness throughout her life, that dying and being raised with Christ, she may share in Christ's final victory. All praise to you, eternal God, through your Son, Jesus Christ, who with you and the Holy Spirit lives and reigns forever. Amen.
Amen.
Okay. And come see me. Hi. And what name have you given your daughter?
Sterling L.
Sterling L. I baptize you in the name of God, the Father who created you, Christ the Redeemer, who saves you, and the Holy Spirit, who works within you, comforts you, and advocates for you all the days of your life. Yeah. Okay, Sterling, we're going to move a little closer to Mom and Dad, and Pastor Shannon's going to come, and we're all going to lay hands on you as we pray for the gift of the Holy Spirit in your life. Sterling L., may the Holy Spirit work within you, that being born through water and the Spirit, you may be a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ all the days of your beautiful life. Amen. All right, Miss Sterling. We're going to take a little walk so you can get a good look at your church family. These are all kind of God cousins and God aunts and uncles and Jesus friends. And they are going to do everything they can to show you how much God loves you, to teach you about the Bible and teach you the songs of the faith. Some of them are going to be Sunday school teachers and confirmation mentors and nursery workers. And we're going to love you into faith. And you're going to learn how to share God's love with the world and then through this place. And we are so glad to have you in our midst. Let's listen as they make that promise to you, okay?
Now it is our joy to welcome our new sister in Christ. Members of the household of God, I commend Sterling L. to your love and care. Do all in your power to increase her faith, confirm her hope, and perfect her in love. We give thanks for all that God has already given you, Sterling L., and we welcome you in Christian love as members together with you in the body of Christ. And in this congregation of the United Methodist Church, we renew our covenant to participate faithfully in the ministries of the church by our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness, that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ.
Please join me in the prayer for illumination. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of the Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. Two lessons from the Old Testament, beginning with the book of Amos, chapter 5, verses 1, then 14 through 15, and 21 through 24. Hear this word that I take up over you in lamentation, O house of Israel. Seek good and not evil, that you may live, and so the Lord, the God of hosts, will be with you, just as you have said. Hate evil and love good, and establish justice in the gate. that it may be the Lord, the God of hosts, will be gracious to the remnant of Joseph. I despise your festivals and take no delight in your solemn assemblies. Even though you offer me your burnt offerings and grain offerings, I will not accept them. And the offerings of well-being from your fatted animals, I will not look upon. Take away from me the noise of your songs. I will not listen to the melody of your harps. But let justice roll down like waters, and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream. And now from the book of Micah, chapter 6, verses 6 through 8. With what shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before God on high? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, with 10,000 rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He has told you, O mortal, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you but to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with your God? The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
I'd like to invite the children to join me for a few moments. If you're here in the sanctuary, come on up to this part of the chancel area. And if you're worshiping from home, just get a little closer to your screens and we'll have a few minutes together. I'm so glad to see all of you. Good morning. Good morning, good morning. Come on down. So happy to see you. Welcome, welcome. When I was your age, my brother and my sisters and I would sometimes get in trouble. Did you ever get in trouble? We might get in trouble for calling our sister or brother a mean name, or for hitting someone, or maybe telling our parents something that wasn't true. There were different reasons why we would get in trouble. And usually when I would get in trouble, I'd have to go to my room. I'd have to sit in my room. And this was a long time ago, before there were iPads and telephones and things that I could watch. I just had to sit in my room and stare at the wall. And it was always hard to know that I had disappointed my parents and that they weren't happy with me. But usually they'd come and we'd have a talk and they'd say, now here's why you had to go to your room, because what you did was wrong. It's not right to hit your brother. It's not right to say mean things. And we want you to grow up and be kind and loving. They sent me to my room because they love me and they want to teach me how to be more like God, more like Jesus. We just heard from a prophet named Amos and another one named Micah. And they lived a long time ago, long before Jesus. And sometimes they said hard things to the people. They said things that the people didn't really want to hear, but they were trying to tell God's people that, you know, what you're doing is wrong, and we need to stop and turn back toward God and do the right thing, to be loving and kind and share. So even when we hear some of these words from the Bible that sound so hard, it's all because God loves us and God wants us to be more and more loving every day. Let's pray together. Gracious God, we thank you for parents and grown-ups in our lives who teach us, who love us, and who want to guide us to be more like you. Even sometimes when we make mistakes and we get in trouble, help us to remember that we can learn from those things and that you always love us and forgive us and give us a new start. Thank you for these beautiful children and the way that they teach me and all of us about your love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you all so much for listening. 3-, 4-, and 5-year-olds can go with Pastor Maggie and Pastor Will to Children's Church. And the rest of you can return to seats with parents or friends. I guess it was sometime last fall when I felt the Spirit nudging me to preach through the Bible this year as part of our 150th year together as a congregation, to read the story of God with God's people as we looked at our own story as a congregation and our history, and as we looked at our own stories as individuals, to place those stories in the larger context, the larger story of God's relationship with God's people. And so I took some time to sort of sketch out the plan, starting on January 8th, ending on the Sunday before Advent. I knew we didn't have enough Sundays to read every single book of the Bible, so I had to make some choices. There were some books that we just weren't going to get to. We didn't read 1st and 2nd Chronicles. We're not going to hear from Daniel, although we'll dig into Daniel a little bit next week in the Bible study. And when we get to these minor prophets, these 12 prophets at the end of the Old Testament, I knew we couldn't hear from all of them. So I put a few together and picked the ones that I was most interested in. And I thought, oh, I've got to pick Amos, because I remember one of my favorite seminary professors preaching the most powerful sermon on the book of Amos. And then I read the book of Amos. And those of you who are reading along in the scriptures or who have read the book of Amos before, if you haven't, it takes about a half hour to sit down and read it. But wow, it's hard. It's really hard. Many of you have probably seen in the cartoons, you know, the guy standing on the corner with the sign that says, "The end is near." That's Amos, prophet of gloom and doom. Most scholars believe that the writings of Amos are the oldest among the prophets that we have. He was writing at a moment in history before most of the other prophets wrote their prophecies down. So it was in the 8th century BCE when the Assyrian army was beginning to be a threat. And Amos wanted to tell the people that you are about to be destroyed. The people of Israel are about to be destroyed, and here's why. And so he spends all of his prophecy talking about the reasons for this destruction, the many ways they have displeased God and wandered off the path that God would have them on. Now we know that there are other scriptures, there are other prophets who tell us more of the story. We know that that moment when the Assyrian army overtook Israel, it wasn't the end of Israel. That the exiles returned, that God was with them in Ezra and Nehemiah, those books that we read, to rebuild the temple and rebuild the city. And of course, as Christians, we believe that the story yet has more to it, that the day comes when God comes in the flesh, in the person of Jesus of Nazareth, to become one of us and to save us and save the world. But Amos, it seems, in his moment in history, didn't see that. He didn't know that. And so there are little drops of hope right at the very end. It may be that God will relent. It may be that there's hope. But for the most part, it's doom and gloom. And what he's saying to God's people is that these consequences are coming upon us for very specific reasons. Some of the other prophets talk about the idolatry of the Israelites, worshiping other gods. But for Amos, it's mostly about their mistreatment and neglect of the poor. It is about justice and righteousness. And he talks about how God's justice is that all people would flourish. As Will said in his sermon last week, that everything would live, that there would be abundant life for all people, and that all people would be seen as God's beloved children and have an opportunity to flourish and have enough. God's righteousness is about being in right relationship with God, with others, and with creation. Being in relationship with the living God in a way that nourishes your life and makes a difference in the world. Amos says, that's absent from you. Where is your heart, O Israel? So if you're willing to dig in a little deeper and hear some of these really hard words, I invite you to go with me. And I invite you to be open to hearing how this prophet speaks to us, guides us into some self-examination and self-reflection. He says to the people, hate what is evil and love what is good. Now, when we hear these words, hate and love, in the Hebrew, they are not so much about feelings. These words are more about choices. Choose to do what is good. Do not choose what is evil. Reject what is evil. And that's helpful to know when we get to verse 21. By the way, I did edit a little bit because I just thought it was too hard. But that, you know, it's not my job to protect us all from the scriptures, so I invite you to go home and read it all. Put yourself before the scriptures. But God, the word of the Lord comes to Amos and says, I hate, I despise your festivals, and I take no delight in your solemn assemblies. Let us hear in that, I reject your festivals and your solemn assemblies and your burnt offerings and the singing of your songs. I will not listen to them. Those are hard words. But then Amos says, let justice roll down like waters and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream. Is Amos saying that worship is not important and that all that faith is about is working for justice in the world? I don't think so. I don't think so at all. So what's missing in the worship of the people? Why is it that God is not accepting their worship? Because their praises are empty. Because they leave the sanctuary and then go and trample on the poor. They stand at the city gate, says Amos, and the poor come to hear their cases and to have justice done. And there is no justice because the judges, the elders are taking bribes and the rich get their way. And the poor are trampled upon. Injustice in the legal system. Injustice in the economic system. You cows of Bashan, says Amos. And he talks about the people who sit up on their comfortable couches in their ivory towers and they feast and they drink while the poor and the lonely are hungry, while the sick are untended, while the vulnerable remain vulnerable. And Amos says, if this is happening, how can your worship mean anything to God? If your worship of God is not lived out in a way that brings flourishing to the world, what meaning does it have? And so I have to step back and examine myself. We have a stunningly beautiful sanctuary that the people who were part of this congregation in the 1920s and 30s and 40s worked really hard to build. We have amazing worship in this place. Beautiful choirs and the best organists in the world and handbells. And we work hard on the liturgy every week. I work hard on my sermon. We have people involved in every aspect of worship. But where is my heart? Am I offering this sermon today because, hey, we're broadcasting all across the world and I want people to think I'm a really good preacher? I want people to think that we have the best choir in the world, put you up against any choir in the world, as if it's a performance to please other people that doesn't lead to changes in our spirits and our lives. But there is another way to worship. A way that I believe we worship every Sunday. We sing our praises as a response to all that God is and has done for us. We work hard on our singing and on our sermons and on our liturgy as an offering to the living God with whom we are in relationship every day of the week. At least that's what Amos is calling for. So if you, like me, feel a little convicted by these words of Amos, maybe the prophet Micah can help us. How are we supposed to worship? What does God want of us? What does the Lord require of you, asks the prophet Micah? But to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God. Yeah, I'm already thinking about this. I'm going to do a sermon series on this, I think, because it is worth diving deeply into these three things and examining what that looks like and how that's lived out in our daily lives. To do justice. It's clear in the Hebrew. Now, I confess, I did not study Hebrew in seminary, so I'm getting this through commentaries and secondary sources. But to do justice is an active verb. Not to talk about justice, not to complain about the injustices of the world, but to do what we can. To lift up the vulnerable. To make life better for those who are suffering in whatever ways they're suffering. To ease the burdens of others. Big and small ways to do justice, to do God's justice, Monday through Saturday. To love kindness. That's a lot harder to translate into the English. I've read lots of different translations. To love kindness, to love mercy, to continually, faithfully love others as God has loved us. Because God has shown such kindness and mercy to us, we then show it to others. I think my favorite translation is to love mercy. To show mercy to others, which means whether they deserve it or not. But also not to be resentful when other people receive God's mercy and love. We'll see a bad example of that next week with Jonah. He did not love God's mercy. And to walk humbly with your God. To walk each and every day in humility with God, with an openness and a curiosity and a readiness for God to surprise us, to stretch our minds, to change our minds, to shape our hearts to be more and more like God's, more loving, more merciful, more just. It's a journey. Hundreds of years ago, thousands of years ago, Amos was worried about his people. Thousands of years later, John Wesley was worried about the people called Methodists. His life and ministry spanned the 18th century. He began with the children and the families of coal miners, the poor. And by the end of the century, many of the Methodists were more prosperous and more comfortable and were beginning to turn inward. And he said in his old age, "My concern for the Methodists is that they would keep the form of religion without the power." It's the same thing that Amos is saying. And so we have this invitation and this powerful reminder that as the people of God, the form of our religion, the form of our worship is not nearly as important as the power of our faith and the living relationship we have with God. And so we go out Monday through Friday, Monday through Saturday, and we do justice, and we love mercy, and we walk humbly with God, and then we come back together in this time of worship, and we sing our hearts out, and I preach as hard as I can, and we teach the children and the youth, and we do all of these things in worship as an outpouring of our love for God. And if we do that, I think even the prophet Amos would say, that's beautiful, and there is hope for the world. Thanks be to God.
As a response to the word this morning, I invite you to stand as we say together the affirmation of faith as found in your bulletin or on page 883 in your hymnal. We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus crucified and risen, our judge and our hope. In life, in death, in life beyond death, God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Amen. Would you please be seated? As we come to our prayer time, I invite you to lift up both your silent and spoken prayers. If you'd like to share them with the pastoral team to be prayed for throughout the week, please follow the link under Contact Us on our website, or if you're here in the sanctuary, you can write it on the gray cards found in the pew rack in front of you and place it in the plates that are passed. I want to point your attention to the prayer list in the bulletin insert today. Please keep those names and situations in your heart throughout the week, praying for the realization of God's presence in each situation. Today, we're celebrating with the rose on the altar the birth of Caroline Abigail Mays, born on July 7th to Anna and Riley Mays. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my thoughts. God, today we acknowledge your greatness. Even before we were a glimmer in our parents' eyes, you knew us, our strengths, our weaknesses, the things that would get us out of bed each day and the things that would threaten to keep us stagnant. For this, Lord, we stand in awe of you. In awe of the grace with which you deal with us and the love that pours over us unconditionally. Lord, today we come with thanks in our hearts. Thanks for who you are and all you have done. We give thanks that you have called us to be a part of fulfilling your mission of restoring our world and of restoring lives. You have shown us how to live each day with you and others at the forefront of our hearts and minds. And so today we draw strength from gathering together and remembering those truths. Lord, may we be stronger when we leave this place. Strength that is found in purpose. Strength that is found when our hearts are filled with your love. Strength that gives itself away in order to be filled. As we thank you today, we offer ourselves to you. All of the parts of our lives that keep us awake at night, as well as those things that help us sleep soundly. We trust you today, Lord, as we open our hearts to you. And it is with that trust, Lord, that we now pray in unity the words you taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Let us now gather our gifts together and offer them to God in gratitude and praise. Those of you joining us online are invited to give via the options listed on the screen. While here in the sanctuary, we'll pass offering plates down the rows. May we give to God with joy, who has been so generous with us.
The joys, as we got to see earlier in the service, is the expanding of our family. And today we continue to expand that by inviting those who have been through our membership class to come and join the church. So if you're here to join today, please come down and join me at the altar. Good morning. We're excited because we had almost 20 people in our membership class this past Sunday, and we've got three joining us here today. First, I want to introduce you to James Coleman. He is new to West End and excited to make this congregation his home. James and his wife, Ashley, are avid outdoors people and love trying new foods, and Nashville's a great place to do that. Louis Belote is not a stranger to West End. He was baptized here in 1960 and has been a vital part of this congregation since then. And we're so excited that he's making the step of membership today. And Melissa McCord is a native Nashvillian and works as compensation consultant with Gallagher. She's already attends the Mosaic Sunday School class and recently started playing tennis. So if you have some advice or would like to play, I know she's looking for a partner. As members of Christ Universal Church, will you be loyal to Christ through the United Methodist Church and do all in your power to strengthen its ministries? If so, say, I will. And as members of the body of Christ in this congregation called to be the loving light of Christ in the world, will you faithfully serve Christ in this place through your prayers, your presence, your gifts, your service, and your witness? If so, say, I will. And to all of us gathered here, would you please stand in body or in spirit and join me in welcoming our newest members. Family of God, James, Lewis, and Melissa are now entrusted to your love and care. Do all in your power to increase their faith, confirm their hope, and perfect them in love. We give thanks for all that God has already given you, and we welcome you in Christian love. As members together with you in the body of Christ and in this congregation of the United Methodist Church, we renew our covenant to participate faithfully in the ministries of the church by our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, our witness, that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. At the end of the service, I want to invite you to join us out the side door here and to meet our new friends and welcome them into our family. And now may the God of all grace strengthen you by the connecting and transforming power of the Holy Spirit, that together we may be the loving light of Christ in the world. Amen.
I'm going to invite you to be seated once again. I know it's a little up and down, but we have another thing we want to celebrate this morning. I'd like to invite Bill Miller and James Sewell, the Reverends Bill Miller and James Sewell, to come forward and join me up here for just a few moments. One of the things that the prophet Amos encourages us to do is to remember the forgotten and to be the presence of God and in the presence of those who need God and God's grace. And can you come on up just a little higher? That way everyone can see you just a little bit better. These two wonderful believers have been going out to Riverbend Maximum Security Prison once a month for over 20 years. Once a month, each of them taking a different Sunday, has shared the sacrament of communion with our brothers there at Riverbend, have said to them, in the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Each and every week, and they have both since retired from that ministry. You'll be happy to know Reverend Stacy Harwell Dye has picked up the mantle, and she will be going once a month to conduct that service alongside other pastors who do it. But a lot of people don't know that y'all did this and have been doing this for so many years. So I just wanted to take a moment to praise God and to thank you for your faithfulness in ministry to the least and the lost. Will you join me in praising and thanking God for their ministry? And now I invite you to stand as you're able and let us join together in our closing hymn. let us go from this place filled with joy and hope and renewal to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk every day humbly with our God. Amen.